You are listening to the Crimes of Long Island podcast.
Hello, this is Lindsay, and you are listening to the Crimes of Long Island podcast. I'm here with my co-host, my patient co-host, Mark.
I'm not that patient, but today...
I know, but I'm just going to pretend. It'll, like, boost your ego and stuff.
You
know?
Well, I don't think I need to be patient because we're talking about some pretty interesting stuff today. I just...
Agreed.
I'm excited to talk about these things, even though I know very little about the topic at hand.
Well, but we're in luck because I am a football fan.
Yikes. No, I mean, it's fine and everything. It's just I think some things just don't... they don't appeal to me. But I respect that... you know, it's out there and people love it.
Yeah, it's the only sport I'll tolerate, so.
So this time we're going to the South Shore of Long Island. We're going to a hamlet called Hewlett, which is where I learned that Robert Mamone, or Mamone? Mamone, Mamone. Or Mamone? Mamone. Robert Mamone lived in.
What's a hamlet?
A hamlet is a part of a town. So a hamlet is part of the town of Hempstead, which we are all a part of. And the town of Hempstead, fun fact, is the largest town in the country.
Hmm.
Yeah. So, you know, people don't know that. They think, like, the town of Hewlett. And it's like, no, well, technically it's a hamlet.
I'm going to use that. That's such a snot. I love it. And it sounds so snooty. I'm going to use that. Oh, I live in the hamlet of Hewlett.
I wonder if the T is even pronounced. I wonder if it should be a Hamlet.
I don't know. Try
if you know, please reach out to the Crimes of Long Island podcast. We must know. But so I have this little Wikipedia thing now. I'm just going to kind of blurp out. This particular case is based upon two people, one from Hewlett and one from Belmore.
Which is also a Hamlet, I saw.
A Hamlet. Hamlet. Yes, yeah, also a hamlet of town of Hempstead.
So, yes.
So Hewlett, which is a hamlet, is in Nassau County, and it's on the south shore of Long Island. And as of the 2010 census, we had about 6,819 people living there. Hewlett Bay Park and Hewlett Harbor consist of many mansions and harbor villas. Harbor villas with very large property. A few dating back to the time of the American Revolution. This area, like the back of Lawrence, if you've ever driven around there, is unique because its rural affluence is similar in character to the more well-known Gold Coast of the North Shore. It's also considered one of the five towns, which is a very unofficial moniker given to the towns.
Yes, please don't quiz me on which one are the five. I always forget.
It's, I believe it's Hewlett, Lawrence, Cedarhurst, Inwood, and, forgetting one, Woodmere.
Okay.
and it's often used to just refer to this grouping of towns. I'm not really sure why these particular towns are chosen and why we left out, say, Lynbrook or...
Because you literally could follow one road to go from Hewlett, Hewlett Bay Park, Hewlett Harbor, Hewlett Neck.
It's true. It is true.
Yeah.
Now, the name comes from the Hewlett family, George Hewlett, who's involved in Boy Scouts of America, by the way. The first Hewlett to settle in the area was born in England in 1634, and this is not a historical podcast, people, so stick with me. He was part of an English community which immigrated to Long Island by way of Connecticut, I almost said Kentucky, and negotiated treaties with the Dutch governors and native inhabitants to establish a population center, which is now Hempstead.
Which has hamlets.
Hamlets.
Yes.
Belmore is a hamlet in Nassau County. Population is more than three times that in 2010, 19,941. And this story takes place in North Belmore.
Yes.
Which I don't know. I know Belmore. I like Belmore. And I don't really know what the difference is between North and South Belmore. And I think it's location.
I think it's one's north and one's south.
No, I mean outside of that, you know. Some towns are really split. Like we have, in Valley Stream, for instance, is North Valley Stream and South Valley Stream.
Oh.
And there's different schools. But so there might be that case. But Belmore dates all the way back to 1643. Belmore was a farming and fishing town known as Little Neck and New Bridge. Belmore was settled primarily by Englishmen who crossed the Long Island Sound from Connecticut. And This gentleman named Preston Bowman purchased a 214-acre farm, in which is now North Belmore.
Feel like he should have moved into Hewlett. So
it would have been nice. You know, it would have been a Hamley named Bowman.
Right. Also, we have a few Prestons over there in Hewlett.
I love the name Preston. I don't know. I mean, I wouldn't want a kid named Preston, but I like the name Preston.
If I name my kid Preston, I would not be surprised when he turns out to be a jackass. So, but I do like the name.
It is. And he would have to be super white.
I would have to dye his hair blonde if it wasn't naturally.
Right. And you have to smoke a pipe. But further south near the bay, John Smith deeded 100 acres to his son Jeremiah in 1676 and blah, blah, blah. And basically, that's Belmore.
Basically, that's geography in a nutshell. By the way, a few weeks ago, I went hard and fast on an argument with my husband that we're all islands.
All islands? What is all
islands? Like, North America's an island.
Yeah, I guess, to a point. Okay. What's not an island, then? I mean, you have to...
Nothing! Florida! It's a peninsula.
I guess it's the whole, you know, you can't have evil without good or something, but...
Yes, fine. Let's get back to crimes, because...
Well, speaking of evil and good, you know, this brings us back to right before Halloween of 2000. What a tense time, right?
There's a lot of right before Halloween's, actually. Yes. Also odd is it was October 21st, 2000, and apparently Hewlett used to have a good football team. Like a really good football team.
Know anything about
I'll explain how football works this week.
No. I mean, I understand the premise of football and all of that stuff, but I didn't. I was unaware that football was really such a part of the high school world. Still, I thought that was really kind of a throwback to the 80s and 90s.
Right. It used to be when we had a good football team that was going to playoffs. And so that was shocking. So it's October 21st, 2000, and Hewlett High School senior and football captain and kind of hot, Robert Mamone was playing fullback. I don't know.
It's just funny. You're allowed to say it now because he's in his late 30s.
Yeah.
But but at the time, 17.
He's still hot. I stalked him on Facebook. And we also have several mutual friends, by the way.
So oh, magic. We've learned our lesson, though. We only reach out afterward.
Exactly. he was playing fullback, which is a defensive position that I'm not familiar with because it's not covered in fantasy football, against another student, Brendan Wright, who was playing safety, yet another position we don't cover in fantasy football, for Mepham High School in North Belmore. Mm-hmm. So all accounts say that Mamone was like super nice and just a good person and had never gotten in trouble. But earlier in this game, Mamone was actually charged with a personal foul for trash talking. I thought that was part of what happened, but like in football. But so during the an early play in the game. Robert Mamone grabs Brendan Wright's left arm, twists it, and hits Brendan three times, either breaking and dislocating his elbow or dislocating his elbow and tearing two ligaments. But that was diagnosed by South Nassau, so anything goes there. Evicted? It's not erected. He was sent out of the game for unsportsmanlike conduct.
Normal thing, I would imagine. When something physical happens like this, you just kind of have to, the administration needs to step in and do something. Right?
Well, so here's the thing. The question is whether this was a normal part of football. And so, Robert Mamone's description of what happened is that he and Mr. Wright became entangled, which is the fucking point of football. Neither one of us could break the hold. That's when it occurred.
But I think entangled in football, and I really know very little about football, is when Now, I've seen football, you know, so when you're going for a tackle of some sort, right, they seem, yeah. sometimes it's like they get caught up in each other and then fall in a very weird way.
Yeah.
And I'm that's what I'm kind of picturing when they say entangled. Kind of like, right. I went to grab you and I went swinging around, then you went swinging around and then you tumbled down.
You have an excellent grasp of football.
That's it. That's football right there.
Yeah, that's football right there. There's also a ball involved. But
I can tell you a lot about where the pigskin comes from the pig.
I'm going to pass, actually. But okay. Yeah. Mamon says, he was holding me by the jersey. I never intended to hurt Brendan or his family in any way. I'm sorry if I did. No way were those ever my intentions. Brendan's father, Jonathan, is not, I'm not a huge fan of. Brendan was furious. It wasn't a tackle. It was an attack. Mind you, if Brendan were my son, I would have much more to say than there would be many words flying out of my mouth.
Right.
The family was worried that the injury jeopardized Brendan's chances for an athletic scholarship and to play football and lacrosse in college. Spoiler alert, Brendan was able to play during the playoffs later in the year. Yeah.
Good.
Yeah. And also lacrosse.
I do want to mention one thing about the name of the school that you don't like. And sorry. I'm wondering if a lot of people listening to this show are like, I wonder if they're going to bring it up. So I kind of thought about Mepham just now. And I'm like, why do I know that? Because at the time I lived in Merrick.
Okay.
And, you know, when this all happened. And I'm like, why do I know Mepham? Because in 2004, there was a charge about a group of high school students who sodomized somebody in that school. And they were brought up on this whole sex abuse scandal in the school district. And it's like a tremendous Mepham High School football sex abuse scandal. So
I sent another episode.
Yeah, so what we'll do is we'll link that in the show notes. But also, yeah, I think this is something that we should cover in the near future because at the time it was like one of those kind of shocking things.
I'm still shocked, actually.
Well, I mean, shocked. I mean, it was one of these big stories is what I'm kind of saying. It was
right.
People
right.
Were really Wait, talking about it.
I had never heard of it. I don't think you had either, did you?
The bottom line is three varsity players sexually assaulted their clients, which I'm not really sure what that is, with a broomstick, pine cones, and a golf ball. So okay. There was a lot of shenanigans going on with that particular case.
I'm going to vomit, and yeah. We'll. So I look forward to that episode next.
Yes. but yeah, sorry to sidetrack you on that. But yeah, that's why I knew Mepham, and maybe it's why you kind of felt like you didn't like the name too much.
No, my psychic intuition.
No, that's what I mean. I think it's deeper.
Yeah, it's just, it's awkward. It felt awkward in my mouth.
That's what she said.
Yeah, exactly. I told you that my son has learned to use that joke correctly during the pandemic. It's
Thank
made me
goodness.
Very proud.
Yeah.
It's interesting. So both Brandon and, Brendan, I'm sorry, and Robert come from, what do you call them? I want to call them broken homes, although neither feels very broken. Like, you know.
Well, Brendan's parents are divorced, and he lives with his mom.
Right, and dad is not. His dad's a little bit of a trouble issue. Mm-hmm. And then Robert's mother, Robert is his mother's child from a previous marriage, but at the age of three, she remarried, and that, you know, he has
kind of normal. Wouldn't you, I mean, this is something that happens. More and more. How many? I mean, we know probably at least a dozen people who are divorced, and it happens. I don't know if we can say that they come from broken homes.
Well, that's why I was hesitant to say it. Like, I think there doesn't seem to be any animosity in Robert's home, but mm-hmm. in Brendan's home, you can see I think Dad is really interested in Brendan for football and lawsuits.
Yeah, like that's what it really seems to be focusing on. Kind of like, no, we're doing this.
Right.
If there was only a tape of the incident, you know, like if somebody was like had the big camcorder. Well, I guess it would be a smaller camcorder.
There is a tape.
Oh, well, let's watch it.
We can't find it. We could find porn of every kind.
Yeah.
That's what you told me anyway. And so,
Amy Fisher porn.
I can't find the tape. And I agree with you. It's probably evidence somewhere. But I did check. I did check Brendan's Facebook page because I could sort of see him putting that up on there, but
yeah, right. You
know, like, I was like, that guy probably would, but it's not there. There is a tape, and the tape proves to be crucial evidence, although evidence that is interpreted different ways.
When you befriend Mamone, you should ask him, like, hey, do you have that tape?
I totally will.
Yeah.
I totally will.
So it's funny because the story goes on, and we get a name from our kind of past. I kind of remember this.
Crazy.
Yeah,
I know.
It was like Principal Joyce Bissow.
Mm-hmm.
Like, whoa, she's like in the news. But... So Hewlett School District, which is the Hewlett-Woodmere School District, decided to suspend Robert Mamone for 2 games in the playoffs, which I think is for what? I don't know. I mean, I just
– I don't –
I am
I
torn
think injuries
here.
Happen, and we don't suspend players for injuries, like, you know.
It seemed to be an accident. Well, you know, even if it was intentional, it's kind of an accident. You can't just
– I don't know if it was, but okay. I mean, I think it was on Robert's part, to be clear. I don't think he meant to injure, but yes. But so he, Joyce asks the sportsmanship committee of Nassau County to review the consequences, and they give the A-okay, and so now everyone in Hewlett is done covering their ass.
And that's it. I mean, and I'm not going to go too far into this, because...
Yes.
But I do know firsthand that the Hewlett-Woodmere school districts distance themselves from any type of injuries. It's just, it's what they do. And it's probably what their attorney suggests that they do. And maybe it's a smart move.
But no, it's a cowardly move, but fine.
It's a move. And, but historically, I understand that that's what they do. And it doesn't surprise me. I'm kind of surprised that they actually suspended him from 2 games in the playoffs. But nonetheless, that's what they did.
Right. And that sort of stinks, especially because...
Seems like a good kid, right?
Yeah, he's a good kid. And Brendan played in the playoffs. Like, his dad's whole, like, oh my God, this is ruining his life thing. The kid was fine by the playoffs.
Yeah,
you know?
But you know what? Brendan goes to a school. Let's be fair here. Goes to a school... Well, they hadn't done it yet, but those kids are freshmen here, you know?
Right.
And it could be a little bit more of a football-centric school versus, you know, our robotics. You know, they probably did have a robotics team or a robotics class back in 2000.
They did.
So
right, but our school, but this school at the time was...
We're trying not to out ourselves, but we've completely outed ourselves.
I know, forget it. This school at the time was pro football. And in fact, like, I have patients that have told me, like, that how pissed they were that, like, all the money got spent on, like, new turf when, like, the girls' soccer team was also kicking ass. And so, you know...
I have a big question, though.
Yeah.
Where did this happen? Was it in Hewlett or was it in Belmore?
I think it was in Hewlett.
I could not find any one way or the other, like whether they were guests or visitors or whatever you call that.
Oh my gosh, poor thing. Come football season, you're going to have to come over. I'm going to teach it to you.
no thanks.
I think it was in Hewlett, but I'm not... positive, and you're right, I probably should have looked that up, but
it's all right. I did read about it. I'm like, there has to be somewhere, but there just didn't seem to be a reference. I'm sure there's a reference.
You know
somewhere.
What? I bet it was at Mepham because
me too. That's
it's
what I
on
think.
Video.
You know what? If this had happened in Hewlett, we would have had the 4th precinct there and a SWAT team. We would have
A lawyer.
Chopper, it would have been an airlift. It would have been, it would have been.
The helicopter would have landed on the field.
Yeah.
Absolutely. Yeah.
Killing 8, parents. Yeah, that's what would have happened. It would have been complete over. Yeah, it would not be just a simple thing.
Right, right. So I have a feeling that,
Also, wait, what hospital did they go to?
South Nassau.
So South Nassau is closer to Belmore than what our choice would be, which was that the one that's in Hempstead. I don't know the name of it.
I don't
the
know.
One near
that
the
was.
Southern State Parkway.
I don't know.
You think people listen to the show who are also Long Islanders and they're like, wow, they're talking about Southern State Parkway.
I don't know. Parkway. How many people listen to the show? You haven't told me yet.
Too many.
But so Robert Mamone's mother, Valerie Herman, is as pissed off as you would expect her to be based on what we know. And she says the school, Oh, wait. So Robert is arrested in November and charged with third-degree assault. Police say that the hit went over and beyond football and constituted a criminal act.
That blew me away, that he's being arrested after something that happened on school property. It just seems like this is odd to me.
Right, right. And if arrested, if convicted, he could spend up to 6 months in prison. Robert Mamone says, like, feeling horrible. He says, I'm the monster.
He's like beaten down. And when he read that, I was like, oh man, this poor.
It was so sad.
Trying to get a start. I mean, he was playing a game. I mean, it's.
Right. Then the first precinct detective, John Connolly, says, Hewlett isn't the first precinct, so that must be Metham? I don't know. Says, I've never seen anything like it. The incident was independent of the play. He appeared to injure him intentionally. So there's two factors here.
Please.
One is, was the whistle blown? And two is, was this over and beyond?
Like, he was really trying to stop him. I mean, it's kind of his job in a football game, right?
That is his job, exactly. Yeah. That's how
I don't
it
know.
Works.
I think that this is a very strange case, which is what kind of the outcome of it. It was not a surprise to me.
Well, so a couple things. So it's interesting. So there's a video, which I really want to see. Someone send it to me.
You ever seen any of those Chinese things where they create animation reenactments of things in the way that it should have played out?
No.
Okay. I'll look it up. But...
send it to me. Okay. There's the video. It shows that on the play, Wright charged into the Hewlett backfield in pursuit of the running back, but Wright ran into a double team involving Mamone. The tight end, who also had control of Wright, let him loose once the running back had worked his way up the field. Mamone was still hanging on to Wright's left wrist, even as the Metham defender turned to follow the play. Are you following any of this, Mark?
I'm sorry, I just dozed, but yes. I'm going to hit that puck right out of the park. Yeah.
Right. So basically, two people have Wright. It's Mamone and the tight end, which is a funny name for a football player. And then the tight end lets go, but Mamone is still holding on.
But he's trying to stop him. I mean, again, right. It's his job to stop these. I mean, the whole point of football, really, I always thought, is to stop everyone and get the ball.
And also to score points, though.
And throw the ball that way, the opposite way.
Right, right. You have to score points, yeah. But so Mamone is still holding Wright with one hand, and he comes down on Wright's elbow in karate chop fashion three times with his other arm. Wright then crumples to the ground, and Mamone fell on top of the injured player, which clearly the fall was not on purpose.
And this takes place all of what, 2.5 seconds?
Probably less than that, yeah.
I mean, it's really giving somebody a lot of credit to think like an entire conspiracy is being created in the whole, a total of 6 seconds. He had to think it up, do it, and then cover his ass. Like, come on. This is ridiculous.
Right. And then as you pointed out, it's Jonathan Wright.
And they're children. I mean, they're 17 years old.
Yeah. He says, my biggest fear is what would have happened if that was his neck.
And this is the most ridiculous thing I've ever read. Granted, this isn't like something taken seriously.
Right. But I thought it was very funny, your reaction.
Yeah, well, I do believe that. It's kind of like, well, what if it was this? And what if it was that? What if, it's like, we can't live in a world of what ifs.
Right. What if it were a puppy?
Yeah. Or Ilian Gonzalez.
Yeah, yeah.
To be serious, like, well, what if you weren't wearing your seatbelt? But I was,
Right.
What if you weren't wearing a helmet? Well, you'd be dead.
Right. So it's interesting that you mentioned conspiracy because we'll get there. But so in December, Mamone pleads not guilty. His lawyer provides proof in the form of a polygraph. It's not fucking proof, but whatever.
Yeah, it's like it's like kind of like keeping somebody on the payroll. What do you do? A polygraph. I kind of just I make up stuff. I scratch on a piece of paper.
Yeah, he could have provided proof in the form of an astrology chart, and I think it would have been just as valid.
A little bit more interesting, too, in this case.
This is true. Because of his age, he's going to be tried as a youthful offender, but he could still end up with 6 months in jail. And Brendan's father, Jonathan, not my favorite person, says he doesn't want Mamone to go to jail, but wants justice. He wants money. Poor Robert Mamone doesn't know if he ever wants to play football again.
I wouldn't. I mean, it would be like, you know what? Not only did the school not back me up on this, but I hate the game now. Like, I'm afraid to tackle somebody. I'm going to get arrested for it.
Right. On December 19th, 2000, charges are dropped by one of my new favorite people. District Court Judge Alfred Cooper drops the charges at the recommendation of NASA DA Dennis Dillon, who we have to have an entire episode devoted to in another time.
And, you know, did you know that about him? That he actually was the person who pursued Colin Ferguson, and he was...
I did.
Is that where your hero comment comes from?
Yes.
Oh, I didn't know.
Because I've been doing so many of these outlines, like...
Oh, okay.
I'm obsessed. So, but he also has a rather interesting side story himself. So.
Okay. Also, he passed away in 2010, but nonetheless, I think that we maybe do that in the future. We kind of focus on one particular person who's made a real difference.
I agree. There's also the two detectives from Suffolk that solved a lot of, cold cases. So Dillon comes out and says, in this case, notwithstanding the pain and injury allegedly caused by the defendant, his actions were relatively brief in duration, apparently impulsive, reactive in nature, and significantly, occurred prior to the whistle terminating the play. A whistle?
Yeah, I was trying to be.
Nice.
How about a bell? There you go.
A bell, good.
It's kind of like in boxing, I'm guessing. If you take that punch after the bell, you can get into trouble for it. You're violating some serious rules. If you continue playing or doing whatever after that whistle, you're no longer you're not under the protection of the rules. But he did stop playing.
He did. So we hear. But there's it's a little bit more complicated than that. Okay. So, a couple of things. One is that thing that was described, the karate chopping thing, is actually called a club and rip. And it is, if you can Google it and find it on YouTube, et cetera. Maybe you can include a link in the show notes. It's something that it appears Hewlett School District had been teaching their players.
Oh, interesting.
Right. So that's part of what happened is football people automatically recognized it as this particular move.
And is it an illegal move?
I don't know, but I don't know if it was an illegal move, but it does feel pretty harsh and hostile. And I think it's sort of like football's constantly evolving, like, you know, every year they come up with new rules, like you're not allowed to, you know, headbutt into someone because you could die.
Have you ever heard of, and this is going to make people probably laugh quite a bit, but have you ever heard of a wrestling move called the butt drag?
Definitely not.
All right, this is a move, and I don't know how I know this, and thankfully I never wrestled. It's a move in which the wrestler grabs a rival's butt cheek and puts his finger into his anus.
Wow.
To get leverage.
Is that illegal?
It is a legal move.
It's
been around for decades. The move is widely used at matches around the country. I'll put a link to it in the show notes.
My son will never wrestle.
Yikes.
I will keep him away from that.
Well, you know what? Yeah, I mean, it's definitely one of those kind of questionable things. I would hope they would have one of those little finger condoms on. But, you know, if you're wrestling a guy and he's got the finger condom on, you want to just kind of give up at that point.
Yeah, I don't want to go anywhere near that.
So I just thought it was, but you know, like these are dramatic moves that I'm like, that's pretty crazy. I wonder if this was a legal move the same way that the butt drag is a legal move.
I don't know. The butt drag has now scarred me for life, though.
There should be a movie named Butt Drag, just like there's a movie named after this move from the football thing, right?
Club and Rip? Rip and Club?
Isn't there a movie you said?
No.
Oh, I could have sworn you said there was a movie.
That was porn.
Yikes.
Club and Rip. Club and Rip, yeah. But so Brendan is, you know, the victim in this case, except for the fact that his father wants to sue everyone. And but interestingly, when I did a search for like court records, because I'm super into that, in April 23rd of 2000, which was about 6 months before Brendan's injury, Brendan and another kid, Angelo Notsis, beat the bejesus out of another kid, Connor O'Leary. The parents press charges, and they eventually end up reaching a settlement agreement. Brendan has to pay Connor about $11,000 in damages.
Weird number, but okay.
It's actually 10,566 something, but it was probably for hospital bills.
Oh, that makes sense, yeah.
Yeah, and how bad would they have beat this kid up that this was, you know, that this, like, was something that happened.
Do you think he became, like, this angry kind of,
This was before. Hurt?
Oh, this is all before. Oh, yeah, derp. It's April 23rd,
2000. Yeah, no, this was before. I think this was just, I think he was raised by an angry father and had to work through some anger. You know, in February of 2003, the state of New York sues Brendan for some damages. He owes $3,500. And in May of 2003, Brendan attempts a civil lawsuit against Robert, the Hewlett School District, and Jay Iaquinta, the Hewlett varsity football coach, who, by the way, like, was there for a while.
Mm-hmm.
And like recently, at some point in the last, well, obviously 20, but like he stayed on after this. And what the suit is that Hewlett's responsible, the head Hewlett varsity football coach is responsible, and Brendan's responsible because they were teaching the move called the club and rip. So all three parties asked for a summary judgment, which I had my husband translate to words I could understand, which is basically, let's squash this shit. Thank you, Scott. So Jay Quinta and Iaquinta, sorry. And Hewlett Widmer District are both granted this, but Roberts is denied. I can't find anything else about where this goes, but I have no record of what comes next and whether or not Robert has to give Brendan, you know, money, or for some reason it's just missing from the all court documents that I can get my hands on. The upside is, Brendan has a couple rough years. Robert took a semester off before going to college. He ends up graduating with a double major in English and business. As I said earlier, he's still very good looking.
But he seems as though he's moved on. He's he does a number of different types of businesses, but he has a family. He seems to be living a good life.
Yeah, and the funny thing is, both of these men are in similar businesses in terms of it's like a combination of business and creativity and probably math, which is why I blank on it. But I do think it was a relatively happy ending for both of them. And Jonathan Wright ends up moving to North Carolina.
Okay.
He moves to North Carolina. And he commits some sort of crime, but I can't open the criminal record. But whatever,
a criminal record could be anything from a real criminal, having a real thing, to not paying a ticket, maybe.
Yes. You know what I did learn, though? North Carolina will ticket you for anything.
Like, oh, really?
North Carolina, every crime or, background search I do, North Carolina has, like, if you breathe wrong, it's like driving through Georgia.
I do think that this is a cautionary tale for parents who might want to get their kids into full contact sports, even in wrestling. If you were to pick somebody up and drop them on their head or something, I'm wondering what are the repercussions legally? Like, are you having fun, you're wrestling, and all of a sudden you kill a kid accidentally? I mean, are you responsible for that?
I mean, I don't know. I do know that most school districts will, despite the millions of dollars paid in taxes, will rub, you know, wipe their hands off of it. So that's
crazy, crazy, crazy. But nonetheless, I do think that they did escape any type of real problem here. I think that thankfully it was just a risk. I mean, did he ever heal? Like, I mean, I know that there were these dramatic discussions of he'll never be able to stretch his arm out again, but
he played lacrosse in April.
Yeah, so he's fine.
I mean, I don't, he never went pro, but his children play football, you know. I mean, you know, yeah. You know, like, I don't know. I think he's still a fan of football. He never, you know, I don't know. He's got a lot of, like, what's it called? Disturbing the peace charges. I think he did a lot of drinking in college, or, like, you know.
He had a good time, it sounds like.
Ah, fine. Good for him. Yeah. If I were a boy, I would have gotten ticketed too. So.
But. Yeah. But, well, thank you so much for the work that you put into this, Lindsay.
And thank you for letting me talk obsessively about it.
It's always fun to talk about these things. Even though I don't know much about football, I did like being able to drop a fun fact about wrestling.
That was a fun fact. That's yikes. True. And sodomy.
And a cautionary tale.
That's double sodomy. You managed to get in two sodomy stories.
Yeah, I wonder, like, I don't know. I mean, that's a rabbit hole that we'll have to, a lot of holes we're talking about here.